You're listening to SIW Radio from SecurityInfoWatch.com, your everything resource for the security industry. Thanks for tuning in. Today is Friday, June 23rd, 2006, and you're listening to SIW Radio from SecurityInfoWatch.com. Today's program features an interview with Scott McDonald. Scott is the CEO for Monument Security out in Northern California and some of Nevada. His company out there has guard services, and both patrol service as well as uniformed services on site. He also has an undercover LP division, placing those loss prevention officers in stores around that area. Scott is with us today, a little bit later in the program, to speak about how he's using GPS technology that's actually in his guards and LP guys' phones to track what they're doing and to better manage his business. And I think it's a very interesting application for GPS technology, and especially one that guard services companies will be very interested in, as well as I think for a lot of those of you who are security directors and end users of guard services, that this is a way to verify that you're getting your money's worth out of your security contracts. Before we get to today's interview, I want to hit briefly on a couple big news stories this week. On the central station monitoring and the dealer community side, the biggest news, it seemed to be, was that Madison, Wisconsin is the latest among cities that have gone to a verified response proposal, meaning that you're going to have to verify that there's a crime or something suspicious going on at a business or a house before they'll send out their police to respond to that. So, you know, it follows a lot of cities in the last year, well, not really a lot, but a couple of cities in the last year that have been very big, very high profile, such as Dallas, Fremont, California. Of course, you look back in the history books, you'll see Salt Lake, L.A. So, you know, this is a tide that our industry has been working on for a long time. Fortunately, the folks over at SEAC are actively pursuing the issue, developing relationships with police chiefs and with state legislatures. In fact, that group and the Alarm Association down in Florida recently were able to get passed by Governor Jeb Bush down in Florida a policy that would require enhanced call verification. And what that is they use two calls at a minimum to try to track down and find out whether an alarm is actually just a false alarm or whether there's something going on there. So rather than the one call, and if they don't hear from you, they assume it's a real alarm, this tries to go ahead and verify it a little bit further before calling the police to send out a response. Also in the news this week, San Francisco's International Airport made the news. They are going to scan all of their passenger plane cargo for explosives. This means a six-fold increase in scanning, so we're talking a major undertaking for that airport. Of course, it wouldn't be the news without the latest in the acquisitions in the security industry. This week we saw Global ePoint by Tops Digital Security. Tops Digital Security is a provider of video security technologies. They're a manufacturer. A lot of their systems are used in casinos, including, I believe, the Luxor, as well as the Gold Nugget Casino. They also have some clients with, like, the Redlands Municipal Airport, Saks Fifth Avenue, Marshalls. And so they've now joined the Global ePoint family. Global ePoint, of course, also does video surveillance applications. In other news, in acquisitions, Risco Group from Israel has acquired access control company Keyware, a very big name in the European access control market. That expands the channel for both companies and certainly links up some interfaces as far as access and security management from those two groups. So now we turn to our interview for this week's podcast. Our subject again is GPS tracking of guards. Scott McDonald, CEO of Monument Security, will join us in just a second. Scott has purchased some technology from a company called Zora, X-O-R-A, that does GPS management systems of employees. Obviously, this is something that has some great benefits in our industry. We've heard before of it, how it's been used for dealers and installing staff to track workers in the field, verify hours, verify locations that they've been doing work. And so Scott has found a way to use this on his guards to, make sure patrol services are patrolling where they're supposed to be patrolling. It can do such things as alert them if a driver goes over the speed limit. So we'll turn right now to Scott to talk about how they're using GPS tracking at his company, Monument Security.
It was about a year and a half ago is when I made the decision to start looking for GPS companies that are out there that we could use with our Nextels. And prior to that, we were using wand-type systems, and where we'd have to pick up the wand, drop off the... I guess it's called more of a guard tour system, where we'd have to pick them up, drop them off, and so it was tying up personnel doing that every day, as well as our loss prevention agents, which are the undercover guys working in stores. They couldn't use a system like that. We couldn't track them with a system like that.
So you're basically using it in two different categories. You've got your LP folks mm-hmm. out there, and then you've got your uniformed guards.
Actually, we have LP and we have guards. We have uniformed guards, but the other thing that is also uniform, we have patrol drivers that drive around
okay.
and go to sites. So we use Zora in three different capacities.
Let's talk about each one of those. Let's start with the patrol, because okay. obviously there are great implications when you talk about that kind of movement.
Mm-hmm.
So, and what kind of operational benefits as a company owner are you getting? So,
well, on the patrol, the basic, we're able to track how fast they're driving, for one, because safety is a huge issue for us. We don't need vehicles wrecked. We got a lot of vehicles, and it could cost us, on our annual insurance, a lot of money if we have vehicles getting in accidents because people are driving so fast. So we have it set up to where it alerts us if a person's going above 65 miles per hour. So that's the first thing. The other is it also lets us know where they're at. Just recently we had a person that was involved in an accident where it was not his fault, it was someone else's fault, but he was injured, and all that we got was that he was southbound on 880, which is a freeway in the Bay Area, and but couldn't tell us where on 880. And so we have a 24-hour dispatch center. So our dispatch center was able to look up Zora and see where his unit was, and then our dispatch center in Sacramento called the emergency services in the Bay Area and told them exactly where he was, where the accident was. So that assisted us in getting him the medical attention he needed. And then as far as on the day-to-day use with the Zora, our patrol drivers have to go, one patrol driver may have anywhere between, it would be 7 to 15 accounts that they have to go to. They either got to lock something up, unlock something, or just do a check, make sure no one's on site, nothing's broken, something like that. And so when they go there, they do a job start and a job end with the GPS, with the Zora, and then all that information is captured, where we used to use a guard tour system to do that. Well, now we're able to capture it on the Zora. We're able to sort it out by the client, and then we're able to email the client when they were there, if they found anything out of the ordinary. And so it saves us on paperwork. It saves us on picking up things, dropping things off. It makes it a lot smoother. Plus, we cannot change a satellite. There are companies, when I first did security in the 80s, that had the guard tour systems, a security officer would gather all his different guard tour stations, gather them up, sit at a desk, and then every, 30 seconds or so, hit them from the desk. He was never on those floors, or he was never at that location. He just, did the easy way out and hit them all from his car, from his desk, from his house, wherever it may be. Mm. Now with the GPS, you can't do that. And so we're able to prove to our clients, we can prove that we are where we're billing you, what we're billing you for, that we're actually there.
How have the clients responded to that?
We're picking up more and more clients.
Yeah, is it a big selling point?
You betcha it is. It's huge. Because our clients and our security officers, a lot of clients look at security, the same level as janitors, unfortunately.
Yeah, it is unfortunate.
Right. Something's stolen, it's either the janitor or the security officer. That's how everyone looks at it. Well, with this, we're able to, we provide a product and we're able to prove that we are, in fact, providing that product. And because there are companies out there that I know that do what's called a ghost hit. They have a client, they're supposed to come by four times a night. They don't. They go by there once a night, drop off a report that says they were there four times. With us using the GPS, we're able to show that, in fact, we were there the time and the duration that are in our reports. Because a handwritten report is dropped off, as well as the GPS is emailed to that client. So they can put them both together and say, yep, he was here at the time that they say they were there.
And obviously, a lot of our readers are corporate security directors and the folks who are policing these kind of patrols. This is technology they'd be interested in as well. Let's move to the uniform guards, the ones who are not on patrol, and how this technology is used in that sector of your business.
Well, one, it's used to show that the officer is there for the duration, again, that the client's asking them to be there. And what we just implemented just recently is a scan, barcode scanner on the bottom of the unit, because, GPS, I think, gets down to about 250 foot radius. Well, we may have doors within that 250 feet that will come up on the GPS as if they're in the same location. When they're not, the officer's actually moving.
Right.
So we put the barcode scans up on the back door or the loading dock door, and we put it within, on the exterior of the facility as well as inside where, the GPS isn't going to hit it when the person's on the inside. So they hit it. Once they go outside, all that information is uploaded, and again, we're able to show the client we were there and we did check on the areas that the client wanted us to check on with the barcode scan in conjunction with the GPS.
And what kind of cost was it to put the barcodes, out there?
The biggest part we had to do was the research. The barcode scanner, I believe, cost about $250. The printer that we're using to print it up, we bought down at Office Max, cost us $100. So, which we can use for, for all our barcodes, not just the one. So, we've got invested probably about $400. And in the future, the only thing we're going to have to invest is the $250 for the unit, and that's it.
Okay.
Because we've already bought the printer and we bought the paper that we're going to put it on.
Are there any other, obviously, tracks, whether the guards have been there, are there any other operational benefits that you could see about, going with the barcodes on the door and able to have that scanner?
That's how we currently use that barcode scanner. Mm-hmm. The other thing that we use with our on-site officers is, and we use it a lot with the Blackberries, we do a lot of or several HOA communities, homeowner association communities, and what we do with those communities is they need to know what vehicles are parked illegal. They're parked in a guest parking, or all the vehicles are supposed to be in the garage. Each HOA is different. And so we found it easier with the BlackBerry as opposed to like an I-355 unit. With the BlackBerry, what the person does, they do an electronic ticket. They type in the address of where the violation is at, the vehicle description, the license plate number, and then we have preset violations for that HOA. Then they select the violation that is occurring there. And then they send it, and then we're able to transmit all that, again, electronically to the client, where they used to get paper tickets and take up file cabinets and so forth. Now everything's kept electronically on their computer as well as ours.
Right. Now, the third component, obviously, is the LP operations.
Uh-huh.
Before we kind of go into how you're using the technology, tell us just briefly a little bit about what your LP operations are set up and what they're doing and kind of how you have that arranged.
Well, loss prevention is it's an undercover person that arrests shoplifters, and the difference between them and a security officer, they're plain clothes, and they're at a retail store, and they're at a different retail store every day. Their hours are different every day. So the same person doesn't go to the same location 5 days at the same time, and we're able to geofence. We can't do that with a loss prevention agent because their days and hours change all the time. And so what we're finding is, you know, a client sees a uniformed officer, they see him in uniform, they know if he's not there, you know, if it's during business hours. They know if that person disappears because all of a sudden the uniform's not there. What we're running into is with a plainclothes person that because they are plainclothes, if we have a dishonest employee, they can disappear, you know, after they get signed in by the client on a timesheet because our clients still want the timesheet signed. So they get signed in on the timesheet. They could disappear, leave, and then come back towards the end of their shift or any portion thereof and finish out the shift and get signed out. And they were never really there. We're graded on the quality of the personnel we send there and how many arrests that they make. And because we send in statistical information to our clients. So if the guy's not there, he's not making arrests. It may take us a while to catch on to figure, okay, is it the store slow or is this guy leaving or does he just not know how to do the job? Those are the three things we look at. And so we would have an agent leave. So we give them the Nextels with the GPS, and I can go in randomly and check. And on one case we had where a guy, he left, went home at the end of shift. He came back, and I was able to pull up on the GPS, see that he left, see what time he came back, see that he went to his house. I confronted him on that. I terminated him. I did not pay him for that time because he disappeared. Well, he filed unemployment, and he filed also a claim in labor court saying that I didn't pay him his wages. I was able to show in unemployment as well as labor court that, you know, I was justified in terminating the person because he abandoned his post and did it willfully and when he left and when he came back, and then dishonestly, he frauded his timesheet by putting that he was there the whole time, and I was able to show the labor judge that he wasn't there for me to pay him, and I won the case. And in our business, as in any business, if you have a lot of unemployment claims, your unemployment can go up. Your each year the EDD sends out a percentage that they're going to take from the wages, or that you have to pay, not from the wages, but as an employer has to pay to them for unemployment insurance. Well, if I'm able to keep that down, that saves me a lot of money because it's that percentage is applied company-wide. So if it goes up, in my case, you know, 1%, that can cost me $100,000 for that next year until I'm able to bring it back down. So if I'm able to keep it down, and by using GPS, showing I'm able to show if I have a dishonest employer or not, if I go to EDD or labor board for wages, because in labor board, if you don't pay a person 8 hours or an hour after you let them go, they're able to collect 8 hours of pay for 30 days non-taxable, and that's a lot of money. So where in this case, this guy could have got me for $3,000. Instead, he lost out. It cost me my time, and luckily I had him on the GPS, and so I won. So in the long run, I can save a lot of money that way.
Yeah, whereas otherwise it might have been something you'd have just gone ahead and paid him anyway, right?
Yeah, I would have got rid of the guy, paid the wages to him because I wouldn't want to get that penalty, and EDD would have been a crapshoot as far as if I would have won or not, because it would have been his word against my word. Depends on what city you're in California as far as, you know, the EDD hearing officer as far as how they're going to rule.
What about in terms of using the GPS, not to just confirm whether someone's there or not, which you talk about, you know, billable hours.
Sure.
But what about operational efficiencies, maybe being able to use it to schedule people's time more wisely? Have you seen any,
We don't use it for that, but we have a scheduling program that we use that we're able to track overtime, that we're able to track who's been trained at what sites, and we use that more than what we would use the GPS for.
Okay. Do you feel like just because of the GPS, though, you are getting greater efficiency out of your employees?
Oh, you bet, because on our patrols, I'm able to look, like I just did it yesterday, where I'm able to audit a patrol driver or a route and find out how long he is at each site. Because when I bid a patrol for a client, I look at how long I think we're going to be on their site, what the driving time is halfway to the site and halfway to the next site that we have to cover. And that's how I bid it. And I usually, as a rule, most patrols were there for about 5 to 7 minutes. And I figure out between, usually about 15 minutes where we're leaving one place to the next place we got to go. And in this one case, I was looking through and I found out that we were at this client site for about 25 minutes. So I need now go to that client and I need to increase my rates. But the other side of it is, if I can see that we are able to do a lot of patrols, and I can go ahead and have my salesperson go to that area, get more accounts, because I'm not going to need to add any more manpower. I don't have to add any more vehicles. I can use what I existingly have there now, add another client or two, increase my revenue and my profit without having any expenses other than the fuel to get to that site.
And that,
does that make sense?
It makes a lot of business sense, absolutely. So in some, let's see, we're talking about a software, an enterprise software platform. You also needed to add, Nextel GPS-enabled phones?
Correct. That's what I use.
We're just going to run over this for our,
And the phones that I use, though, what I've gone to is a GPS phone that if the officer or the employee tries to turn off the GPS portion, my dispatch center can turn it right back on without him knowing.
So it's got an uplink through the phone.
You betcha.
The whole time. And this is a live uplink, so it's sending back the data constantly?
Correct.
Gotcha. How often does, when we say live, are we talking real time, or is it every 10 minutes it gives an update, or?
It depends on what it's set up for. We have our phone set up, I believe, to ping every 5 minutes, and the loss prevention agents, I believe, are set up for every 15 minutes.
Okay. Gotcha. Well, Scott, I appreciate the briefing. This certainly sounds like something where our industry, the Guard Services industry, may be headed rather quickly.
Like I said, I've been able to utilize it and acquire new clients because a lot of clients, they're impressed by it. Once they see it, they're in love with it. But a lot of clients have never seen it before.
Yeah, they just think of it as
the Army has it,
right?
GPS.
The Army or maybe some high-end cars.
Exactly. So. They don't realize that it is on units such as these that we use, and what we're able to do with that information, what information they're able to get from us, and how we can show that there's accountability. Because I'm a private investigator as well. I have a private investigator's license. My thing is everyone's guilty until proven innocent. And so that's how I run my company. I've got to prove to you that we're doing what you're paying us to do. I don't want you to assume that we are. And that's how I sell it.
Very good. Well, very much appreciate it, Scott.
You bet.
Thanks for coming on with Security InfoWatch.
All right. Have a great day.
Great. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
So, again, that was Scott McDonald of Monument Security talking about how he uses GPS technology in his business to manage guards. And, obviously, we've seen a lot of other applications come out in the security industry lately, including proposals to use GPS tracking of cargo containers, ocean-bound cargo containers. There's a lot of potential out there for tracking technology. The key is being able to manage the information and actually do something with that information rather than having it just dump into a database or be recorded. Obviously, like so many cameras have done, is that they're figuring out how to use that data in meaningful ways. As a final part of Security SIW Radio's Friday, June 23rd broadcast, I want to point you to a section of our site. We're going to try to kind of focus on different sections of the Security InfoWatch site and hopefully give you a little tutorial on how to best use these to your benefit. one of the things I want to point out this week is our calendar, our online events calendar. If you go to www.securityinfowatch.com/calendar, you're going to end up on our events calendar. There you'll find upwards of 80 events posted, all relating to the security industry, to physical security, and related issues, not only for events for dealers, events for integrators, events for end users, education events, conference events, trade shows events. So we get a lot out there, and I want you guys to use that. Feel free, if you're with a local association, such an alarm association, or an as-is chapter, or an association of the Automatic Fire Alarm Association, please use the Submit Your Event link up there, right at the top of the calendar, to add your events. We'll go ahead and get those approved for you guys, verify the information, and get those posted so your event can get some exposure. For those of you who are looking for events, you can sort by such parameters as month of the event that you're looking for. You can sort by event type, such as education or conferences and trade shows. And you can also, of course, sort by location. So if you want to find all the events in, say, California, you can sort there, and of course you're going to find a lot coming up with this September's as is. So please take a look at the calendar and feel free to post your own events. That's one of the beauties of community publishing and creating a community on a web portal online. Again, thanks for tuning in to Security Radio. We'll be back soon with another podcast bringing you some of the best speakers, interviews in the industry, and a look at the news that's shaping your world. We'll be right back.